Can you track back to the issue of the stage two versus stage three? When the data were originally presented, you presented the trial in its entirety. It went to the U.S. FDA, and then they split it out. What were your thoughts about what they did? Because that's raised a lot of controversy.
When we see the results now, maybe it was a reasonable option, because it's true that in stage three, there is no debate. The demonstration is very clean. We have every endpoint met, everything. Stage two, we do not answer really to the question of the improvement of survival, because this population is very heterogeneous, again.
When you think about how this same issue evolved in breast cancer, really in the late 1980s, at that point, prior to when they started to do meta-analysis and larger trials, people were saying, quote, adjuvant therapy doesn't work in node-negative patients, and maybe the statement should have been, we don't have adequate data to evaluate the question. So right now, do we know that it doesn't work in stage two?
No. You are right to compare with breast cancer. But to be very fair, here we are not comparing no treatment to FOLFOX. We are comparing one treatment versus another treatment. And we have some reason to say that 5-FU, even if it's a limited effect, has an effect in non-negative cancer patients, like in the breast cancer. And it's your experience to show that should we perform trials to verify that we can have 2% improvement in survival, if the patient accepts that, we should try to demonstrate. It won't be demonstrated by an equivalency trial. It's impossible. But maybe, again, in selecting better and better with the biological markers, the population at high risk in stage two. Each time you have a poor prognosis identified, you will improve the survival of the patient who do not have these factors. A Will Rogers effect can occur and recognize a population who really doesn't need any chemo and population that will need maybe only 5-FU-related chemotherapy and other who will need combination, because some of these stage 2, high-risk stage 2 patients, the T4 patients, stage 2, have a worse prognosis than the stage 3A, because the new classification.
I guess my question is, in the stage 2 patients overall, and maybe even the average risk patients, it appears that by adding in oxaliplatin, you really don't get a benefit, or we don't know the answer?
Well, we know a part of the benefit, because we know what happens in disease-free survival. We have not observed the translation of a disease-free survival advantage in an overall survival advantage.
So is sort of the conclusion that it doesn't affect overall survival, or we don't have enough data?
We don't have enough data. But obviously the difference will be small.
So if a patient were to say to you, and I'm sure this must happen in your own clinic, who has, let's say, a normal, not a high-risk stage 2 tumor, they say to you, will my risk of relapse be additionally reduced by taking FOLFOX as opposed to 5-FU? How would you answer the question?
No, if I can really identify the low-risk patient now, a low-risk stage 2 patients, I would not recommend the FOLFOX therapy in these low-group patients.
Is that because you think it doesn't lower the relapse rate, or that the risk-benefit ratio doesn't play out?
No, it doesn't. We see nothing in this. It's a very small experience in the MOSAIC trial. We had 40% of patients with stage 2. And among these patients, majority belongs to the high-risk stage 2. So we have a very limited experience, something like less than 300 patients with our stage 2 low-risk. So I cannot conclude with that. The answer, clinician answer, so it won't be a scientific answer. Scientific, if I'm asked, I have seen something in this group of patients, the answer is clearly yes. But then you have the patient, we can be very young, we can be very anxious, so we can modulate. And my feeling also, it's what I would like to do as a trial with oxaliplatin, is to maybe reduce the duration of oxaliplatin chemotherapy. Maybe we can continue 5-FU, but to limit the number of cycles of oxaliplatin in this kind of favorable subgroup. Because if we observe at 4 years some 15% neuropathy, even if it's only 3% who are grade 2 and grade 3. But if it's 3% for a survival advantage, which will be 1%, this is not very fair to give this kind of treatment.
And yet, if you have very fully informed patients, maybe who even might have some medical background so they can even understand some of these issues and turn around and say, even if this lowers my chance of relapse by 1%, I understand that I'm at risk for neuropathy, but I would like to be treated. Do you think those people are thinking rationally? What do you think is going on with those people?
I know if we are concerned with the patient, even if the rationale is not very strong, if the patient is convinced that he has not received a good treatment, for years it will be a problem for this patient. So maybe the answer should be a short treatment.